Good morning, everybody, and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers. Our first reading is from Psalm 127. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labour in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Our second reading is coming from Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do.
Well, good day again. I'm Dave. Like I said, I'm one of the pastors here. And so great to be with you now as we work through this topic. And a warm welcome if you are new to us today. We're just so pleased you can join us this morning. As we saw in the video before, Mother's Day, it can bring up a whole mix of emotions. And if that's you, I do hope this is a community where you feel the love and support of the people around you. But it's also funny how so often lament can be alongside something joyful too, because we know the goodness of something and sometimes we feel the absence of it. And Mother's Day is also an opportunity to thank God for the gift of motherhood, to give thanks to him for how through mums he's given us that gift of life. And isn't that just extraordinary what he does? Motherhood is a valuable thing in God's eyes. Don Carson, he's a well-respected theologian, and he shares this story of his own mum, Elizabeth. Elizabeth, she was an intelligent woman who was very competent in a range of areas. When she was at a Bible theological college, she was the one getting top marks in Greek and Hebrew studies, that kind of thing. And along the way, she married her husband, Don's father, and had several kids. And right when she was in the thick of raising her children, someone she knew asked her this. She said, "Don't you find it mindless and boring to now spend your days changing nappies and wiping dirty noses?" It's good to have friends like that, isn't it? But Don Carson, he recalls that his mum at that point, she kind of raised herself to her full height, and she responded, "I'm not just changing nappies and wiping dirty noses. I'm shaping character." I think that's what a great example, isn't it, of a woman who knows the value of motherhood, despite what other people might think. She knew that in God's eyes, motherhood was a valuable thing. And it's worth remembering this, because I think we do live in a world where there's a risk we might undervalue motherhood. There's been a whole bunch of social movements going on and hyper-individualism. And along with this, there's kind of been a tendency to downplay motherhood, to place it alongside career or experience, or sometimes even lower. But I want to say today, that's That's not how God sees things, and I hope you'll see that as we work through some passages of Scripture. Today, we're going to explore how God sees motherhood as valuable. We'll start by looking at some of the reasons God gives us for that, and we'll then consider the opportunities that come with motherhood. And finally, we're going to consider the great privilege and opportunity to be a part of a church family too, and how we can make the most of that. That's what we're going to do. So firstly, let's start with the value and goodness of motherhood. We can't look at every reason God gives us in Scripture, but here are just a few. Why is motherhood valuable? Well, firstly, because children are a precious gift from God. In the thick of parenthood, it can be hard to actually appreciate that, I think. Like when you're in sleep deprivation and there's all these challenges you face, it's not always easy to see that they are such a gift. But God tells us children are a gift from Him and they're worth giving thanks for. We heard in our first reading in Psalm 127, the psalmist says this. The words will be up on the screen. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. Children are a gift from God, and if you have them, it's worth taking the time to thank God for them. To thank Him for how kids help us to stay in the moment and enjoy the little things, to see the beauty of the world anew, or to expand our ability to love. There's all sorts of reasons why we can thank God for children. And what's more, children are precious in God's eyes too. In Mark 10, Jesus was in the region of Judea, and because of His teachings and miracles at the time, He'd built quite a following. He was becoming quite important. And so people were bringing their children to Him to bless. But Jesus' disciples at the time, they saw this happening and actually rebuked the parents for doing this. They thought that, you know, Jesus was more important and He had more important things to do than to bless these children. But notice how Jesus sees things. Notice His response to all this. Verse 14. When Jesus saw this, He was indignant. When Jesus sees His disciples kind of shooing off the children, he's actually upset with them at this point. And why is that? It's because children are precious to Him. And so He says, let the children come to Me. These small humans, they're just as important to Jesus as the big humans. And what's more, children are precious because we can learn from their example. God teaches us through them. In this particular passage, Jesus uses children to help us to understand how we actually become a part of God's family. So in verse 15, He says this. He says, truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. If we want to be a part of God's kingdom, a part of His family, then what Jesus is saying is that we need to be like these little kids in the story, totally dependent. When my kids were very young and they wanted something, they didn't kind of reason like adults did. You know, they didn't think to themselves, okay, how am I going to earn this particular thing from Dad? You know, that's just not how a two-year-old or a three-year-old works. Instead, if they wanted something, they'd stick up their hands and they'd look up at me and they'd ask for it. Totally dependent. And then if I gave them a good gift, you know, they wouldn't just look at me and sigh and say, okay, Dad, how much do I owe you now? You know, or they wouldn't say, don't worry, Dad, you know, I've got the next one, you know, we've got this covered. You know, that's not how kids work. They receive it with joy. They know there's nothing they can do to earn it and there's nothing they can do to repay it. Jesus is telling us children are a gift to us because in this way they show us how we become a part of God's family. We can't earn it by doing good works. We can't bargain with God. Instead, like children, we actually need to realize we're helpless and we're needy. Not just because we're creatures and with that we have limitations, but also because in our rebellion against God, we're fallen creatures. There's nothing we can do to work our way into God's family. But like a father holding out a good gift, God, he lovingly takes the initiative with us. And he offers us the greatest gift of all, the gift of becoming a part of his family, where we can be his forgiven and loved children. And he makes this all possible through Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection to new life. It's an amazing gift. So how do we actually receive this gift from God? Well, Jesus tells us we have to be like a child. Look at a child and learn from them. We need to be dependent and trust in him. Like children, we come to God with nothing, nothing to give. But through trusting in Jesus and what he's done, we receive everything. It's an amazing gift. And today we're particularly thinking about the privilege of being a mother, and it is such a great privilege. You know, just as I consider being a son an enormous privilege, being a father, being a husband, being a sibling, all of those are great privileges in their own way. But can I say nothing is a greater privilege than being a child of God, to be someone who is forgiven and loved by him. And if you're someone who today and you don't yet know this great gift, but you want to look into it, I'd love to chat with you afterwards. Or maybe if you came along with a friend or a family member, you could chat with them. We also have a life course coming up tomorrow, which you heard about. So it's a course where you just look into all these things. You look into who Jesus is and what he's done for us. Please come along and join that too. Well, we've seen today so far that God sees children as precious for so many reasons. But what's more, if you're a mum, then God has entrusted this precious soul to you to raise and to nurture to maturity in the same way he has for a dad. And as mums do this, as they care and love for their children, it's a good work in God's eyes. It's something that pleases God. And you see this many places in the Bible. A good example is in Titus. In chapter 2, we explore all these different ways that people who know Jesus can respond to his grace and live for his glory. And as a part of this, we look at what does that look like if you're a mum with kids. In verse 4, we see that older women, that urge younger women to love their husbands and their children. If you're a mum and you know Jesus, then one of the ways, there's many ways that you can live for Jesus, and one of those is to love your kids, to lovingly prioritize them and serve them so they can grow in love and in Jesus. And as we see in other parts of Scripture, this is a part of God's bigger picture for family life. One where husbands are also lovingly laying down their life for their wives and instructing their kids to grow and love Jesus too. For my mum, raising me and my two siblings, I think we might have been hard work at points, but she shares how amid the highs and lows, she found it really helpful remembering that actually raising us was one of the ways that she's doing a good work in God's eyes. You know, at the time it meant there were things that she had to say no to, other gospel opportunities. But she knew she was the only one who could be our mum at that point. And in God's eyes, this was a precious ministry, a precious way to serve Jesus. If God's given you children, you're never just a mum. Children are precious in God's eyes. And he's entrusted them to you and to the Father to love them and nurture them to full maturity. It's an incredible value. It's a valuable role and an incredible privilege. And so I want to ask you, how do we make the most of this if you're a parent? How do you do that good work of loving your kids? At this point, I'm going to bring dads into the picture too because, you know, as I said, God says parenting is a partnership. And he makes it clear in other places like Ephesians 6 that husbands, they're called to raise their kids up in the Lord. Parenting, it can be a pretty overwhelming gig at times. I remember when Daisy was first born, she's our eldest child, and we were just coming out of the hospital, and we walked over to the car, and then we realized we hadn't put the baby seat in,
And that was horrendous. I don't know if you've ever tried to put one in, but somehow they are really hard, especially in your deprived state. It may just be me. I'm not very good with those things. But it took us about an hour, I reckon. At least it felt like an hour to actually put that seat in, get Daisy in there and drive off. You know, at the time, I felt overwhelmed even getting her out of the car park safely, let alone parenting her. It's parenting can be a hard gig. And in my experience, most parents feel the strain of this at different points in different ways. But it's also a precious responsibility. And, you know, with it comes blessings and growth, as well as the heartaches and the challenges. And so, firstly, I think amid all this, it's worth just remembering we're not on our own. Families are God's idea. You know, parents raising kids, that's His idea. He says it's a good thing. He's for us and He's with us, and He'll keep resourcing us for this task. And so, under God, how do we make the most of this opportunity? Of course, there's going to be all sorts of things, aren't there? You know, education, health, relationships, safety, happiness. They're all good things. I don't want to downplay them. But in the end, the big goal we want for our kids, it's actually the big goal we want for everyone here. What is that? Well, if you boil it down, it's to bring glory and praise to God as we live now and for eternity in Jesus. Bring glory to God as we live now and eternity in Jesus. In our second reading in Ephesians 2, it captures this. You could look at many parts of Scripture, but Ephesians 2 captures it. In verse 10, Paul says this, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Created in Christ here, it captures the new life we have in Jesus, like what we spoke about before, being a part of his family as his forgiven and loved children. And if this is you, if you know this, your purpose as a part, as one of God's new creation, is to glorify Him, to praise Him as your Maker. That's His big desire for us. And so, as you go about parenting, that should be our big desire for ourselves and also for our kids. How do you actually achieve this on the ground, though? There's no guarantees, actually, that our kids will be people who love and serve God. You know, it's not like making a cake where you just follow the recipe book and then out comes this perfect child. You know, I certainly, even when I am baking and follow the recipe, it doesn't come out like that anyway. But, you know, it just doesn't work like that, especially with raising kids in the Lord. But while we can't change anyone's heart, God can. And he gives us His Spirit, and He turns heart of stone into hearts of flesh. That's what God can do, and so we can entrust our children to Him. And then in the strength and opportunities He gives us, we can seek to keep faithfully nurturing our children in the Lord, raising them to know Him and love Him, whatever stage they're at, whatever that looks like. And broadly speaking, I'm not going to get into nitty-gritty details, you know, there's plenty of good books out there, but broadly speaking, I think this happens as you keep seeking to build a Christian community in your homes, where you seek to build a culture that centers on God and His loving ways. And above all, I think that means you build a culture of grace. Sometimes as parents, I think there's this pressure, you know, to have our kids all sorted out, you know, presenting really nicely. But I think that can be a problem. Paul Tripp, he's a Christian theologian, and he describes this a bit like stapling fruit on a tree. There you go. Yep, it kind of, you know, it looks nice, doesn't it, in the picture, having fruit on a tree. But if you're just stapling it on there, in the end, it's actually not healthy. And in the end, with our kids, you know, we don't want them to kind of parrot truth and just look good. We actually, in the messiness of life, we want them to grasp God's grace in Jesus, His love for us in Jesus, and then to respond to this. And this can play out in all sorts of different ways, depending on where you're at. I think we can encourage this in formal ways, but also informal ways. You know, there are obviously patterns in the Christian life that you want to be modeling and encouraging: devotion to God, His Word, prayer, and fellowship. You want to keep building those into your week. But equally as important, I think, is all those informal things we can do. Like talking about faith in just everyday life. You know, after church, asking your kids, what did you learn? What stood out to you? In the week, as they face challenges and new things, trying to bring those moments back to Jesus and His loving ways. You know, the conversation might not start with faith, but that's where you can bring it in the end. And all this, the goal is that we keep showing them that life under God, the life He calls us to, it's robust, it's rich, and it's good. It speaks into life better than anything else in this world. What a privilege it is to be able to do this, don't you think? To help our children to know Jesus as Lord and Saviour. And I want to say, parents do have a unique responsibility in raising them in their household. But also, I want to say, and I want to finish with this, that within God's family, we also have an opportunity to encourage one another to grow as disciples of Jesus. And that is a very precious opportunity too. In Matthew 12, Jesus reminds us that if you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to two families. So Jesus, He was in the middle of teaching a crowd. When someone in the crowd, they let Him know that His mother and brothers were outside and they wanted to speak to Him. And this was Jesus' response. This is what He said, verse 48. He replied to them, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" Pointing to His disciples, He said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of the Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Like we said before, if you put your trust in Jesus, you belong to His family. You're a forgiven and loved child of God, and Jesus, He's your faithful older brother. And that's just, it's so incredibly significant to know this. Within your own household, either as a child or a parent, things may have gone wrong. Loss of relationship, or relationships that are broken and a cause of grief. But if you trust in Jesus, God's given you another family too, His family. It's one that's founded on His grace. It's a family that lasts into eternity. And it's a family that's here today, actually. You know, often at church we speak about being a family. And when we do that, we're not just being tokenistic. You know, we're not just saying that for the sake of it, because it feels nice. We actually are a family. And it's a great, great privilege. One of our families here at church, they've got young children whose grandparents live overseas. And when grandparents' day came along at their child's school, one of the kids chose to invite a member of our church family to come along. And they came along, and it was a precious time for all of them. It's a great privilege to be a part of God's family. And because of this, as we finish, I just want us to consider, how do we make the most of this opportunity? Like raising kids, how do we actually encourage one another to live with Jesus as Lord and Saviour? Growing up in church, I had several women in my life who were brilliant with this. They invested in me all sorts of different ways. Men too. You know, I think at the time they probably thought, this kid needs all the help he can get. But I'm okay, I'll take it, you know, whatever I can get. But these women, they did the ordinary things, but that was significant. They'd pray for me, they'd welcome me into their home, they'd show me what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. They're gifts from God, and actually we can be gifts from God to each other as well. Recently I bumped into a woman from church I grew up with, an older single woman, and I hadn't seen her in a decade, but she told me she still prays for me every week. How amazing is that? What an incredible gift she is. How can we be that for each other here? I reckon it's going to look different for everyone. You know, there's not like a one-size-fits-all. We've all got different gifts, personalities, different circumstances, but we all have the opportunity to build each other up in Jesus. And if you're not sure where to start, one small step I just want to suggest today is work hard at remembering the names of people younger than you. There's lots of things you can do, but that's one way. You can really love the people younger than you. You know, remember their names, and when you get a chance at church, say good day to them. Ask how their week's going. Ask how you can be praying for them. And then the following week, just let them know you prayed for them. It may seem small, but actually it's those kind of things that are so significant and can shape and transform people's lives in Jesus. So let's keep going at this. Let's make the most of the great privilege and opportunity of being a part of God's family as we point each other to Jesus. Because when we do this, it's never wasted. We're investing in God's family, and God's family lasts into eternity. Well, on this Mother's Day, we remember the high value that God places on motherhood, on mums, and the great opportunity parents have to invest in their kids lovingly so they might know Jesus as their King and Saviour. And we've remembered the great gift of being a part of this family as forgiven and loved children, and the opportunity we have similarly to build each other up in Jesus. And so as we finish, let's commit all this to God in prayer. Let's give thanks to Him and let's pray to Him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, on this day we thank You for Your good gift of motherhood, for those who You work through to give us life, and for all the significant women who have loved us and pointed us to Jesus. We pray You might sustain all parents here, whatever stage. Please help them to continue to encourage their families to love and serve Jesus. And thank You for the incredible privilege it is to be a part of Your family. Please help us to make the most of these relationships for Your glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.